It's that time of the week where we catch up on global market and economic developments. The big deal yesterday and today was the US 10-year bond yield inverting, which analysts say could spell a global recession. Well, to break down what this all means and more, I'm joined on the line by Lukman Otunuga. He's a research analyst at FXTM. Thanks very much, Lukman, for joining us. What's the big deal about the US 30-year Treasury yield dipping below 2%? And why should markets automatically assume that this spells a possible global recession?
Yeah, as we can see, there's a wave of risk aversion engulfing the financial markets, and there's this talk about yield curve inversion. Well, firstly, we saw the 10-year Treasury yield breaking below the 2-year on Wednesday, and this normally happens. Every single time it's happened, a technical recession or global recession has happened. The reason why the 30-year Treasury yield falling below 2% is much talked about is because this is the first time ever. So normally when there's uncertainty, investors rush to the bond markets. You know, they increase demand for bonds, reduces the yields. But when we have a yield inversion, it simply means that the reward for shorter dated bonds is actually higher than longer dated bonds.
Yes.
Meaning that investors are really on, you know, concerned about the longer term outlook. So they'll rather have a payout in the short term. So every single time this happens, it's normally a signal that there is a possible recession around the corner.
And when it happens, what's the time frame between that happening and a recession occurring? And where would the recession occur?
Well, we looked at what happened back in 2007, 2008. I believe it happened, a few months before, and that's when we had the financial crisis then. So there's no real time frame to it. It's just an indication that it could be a possibility.
Realistically speaking, Lukman, is there really that much room for monetary authorities around the world to make an impact in any of the moves that they make going forward? I mean, if we look at Japan, for example, they're a case in point where they've had interest rates down for the longest time, but they've struggled to gain any inflationary momentum.
Yes, Europe can also be put into this category with interest rates at 0.4% and their inflation is still muted around 1.6%. But then other central banks still have some more room to maneuver. Look at the Fed. Interest rates are between 2 to 2.5%. And China is at 4.35%. So what I'm thinking is, as other central banks join the global easing bandwagon, they could just only hope that lower rates somehow stimulates consumption and protects their economies through this unfavorable global development. Because if we do have a situation where even though central banks are cutting rates and there's still no increase or no improvement in growth, this is very bad news for everyone else.
How do you think it sits with the Federal Reserve when the President of the United States says that the governor there or the chair has no clue?
Yeah, this just adds to the uncertainty. Adds to the uncertainty and fuels concerns for a central bank independence. Because really, like you're saying, that a president of the United States shouldn't have any say in what the Fed is doing in regards to monetary policy. But then when we're looking at the US economy, yes, there are concerns over a recession around the corner. But overall, data from the US is not that bad. For example, today we had retail sales, which was 0.7% in July. So when we're having positive data points like this, is there really a reason for the Fed to continue cutting interest rates?
Absolutely. Fair enough, someone can say it's just one data point. But like you say, I mean, even when you look at their jobs numbers, they're still creating a lot of jobs in the economy. So it seems that in US markets today, they've picked up a little bit despite, you know, stuff happening in the background, concerns around trade tensions and so on. I see company results came out for Walmart and they came out with good numbers. Are these company results merely going to be a distraction given the fact that you have the trade war bubbling away?
Yeah, this is just merely a distraction. You know, markets, as I said, were helped by these positive figures and retail sales. But at the end of the day, nothing has changed. We still have trade tensions. China has made a statement earlier today threatening to retaliate should the United States move ahead with the tariffs on technology on September the 1st. We still have global growth fears. The IMF have cut world growth forecasts four times in 9 months, with growth currently predicted at 3.2%. There's geopolitical tensions across the globe.
Yeah.
We have Brexit in the UK, yield inversions. Really nothing has changed. And I feel when investors come back from the markets over the weekend next week, it's still going to be risk aversion.
So just touching on the UK, you mentioned it there. The UK Parliament is still in recess. But of course, you know, the topic on everyone's mind must be Brexit as October the 31st comes ever closer. I saw comments the other day that British PM Boris Johnson is keen to get a trade deal with the EU. But is that still on his terms?
It's funny because this is not the first time we've had headlines like this. A day after he became Prime Minister, he tried to have talks with Brussels and he was squarely rejected. And this is the same narrative. This is something we're going to continue seeing until Parliament returns from recess. And based on this, concerns over the UK crashing out of the EU the day on Halloween is still a main theme that will continue hitting the British pound.
And where is the British pound these days?
The British pound is not in a good place. If you look at the pound US dollar, it's, you know, around 122, 121 regions. The euro pound, euro against the pound, actually hit a 10-year high earlier this week, just above 93.20. So I've said this many times, so, you know, I won't be going anywhere during the summer break. I'll stay in the UK.
You have said that. So with the continued level of uncertainty that you've highlighted, do you think the gold price is likely to hang on around those $1,500 levels per ounce, you know, given the fact that, you know, we don't know what's going to happen in the future?
Certainly. Gold has been incredibly bullish this week and last week, and this is the same theme I'm going to expect in the week ahead. This is the perfect environment for gold. As I said before, you know, if you look at all the geopolitical risk factors, the fact that we have inversion of the yield curve, recession fears, you know, uncertainty across the board, lower interest rates, these themes are going to continue powering gold. And if we do secure a solid weekly close above the 1,500, I'll be looking for gold to test 150 and potentially higher in the coming months.
And so now we come to the markets, which unfortunately catch a cold when the likes of China and the US do anything. So how worried should commodity exporting markets like South Africa be about the poor showing in China's industrial numbers yesterday? People are saying it was the worst number in 17 years. Is this evidence of the trade war beginning to bite in that economy? And what can we expect in terms of how that will impact us going forward?
Yeah, warning signals are certainly flashing red. The poor industrial production levels does signal weaker demand. Now, given South Africa's close trading relationship with China, you know, it's its top export destination, and our exports account for roughly 30% of South Africa's GDP, this is incredibly significant. But then again, you know, I don't want to be the person that's just focusing on South Africa. It's not only South Africa, I always say this. Emerging market exporters are also feeling the heat, and this is a theme that we're going to see moving forward. Looking deeper into South Africa, it's been an interesting week for the nation. We saw the rand weaken to a yearly low, around 15.46, so wow. But looking at the gains from Monday, it seems that the rand is still trying to fight back, with it actually off roughly 0.3% against the dollar. In South Africa, what's going to continue driving the rand is not only trade developments, but still speculation over whether Moody is going to move forward with that credit downgrade that we're waiting for in November. I'll be seeing if the South African Central Bank cuts interest rates, because as we know, lower interest rates in South Africa should stimulate consumption, at the end of the day, support to the economic growth.
Let's hope they do cut. We'll be very happy for that.
Rate cut will be good for consumers. You know, all of a sudden you have more disposable income. You can spend more.
That was Lukman Otunuga. He's a research analyst at FXTM.